In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
It was the Jewish Passover that was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those that sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and the money changers sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money. He overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, "Take these things. Do not make my Father's house a market." And his disciples remembered that it was written that zeal for thy house hath eaten me up. I'm going to tell you, this was an act of rebellion according to the Jewish people. That Jesus comes into the temple area, the sacred place. These people were selling animals that would be sacrificed. And Jesus acts as a prophet. He throws over the tables. Feathers are flying every place. He throws over the money and silver is on the floor. My house shall be called a house of prayer. You have made it into a den of thieves. To the Jewish people, this was an act of rebellion. The sacred place. The sacred place of God. But to Jesus, this was not rebellion. He came to clean it up. He came to restore worship. He was upset about business. Business as usual. He was upset. He had come as the good shepherd. He had come to lay down his life for the sheep. And the temple of Jerusalem, the place of worship, was nothing but a market, nothing but a house of business. It was not a house of prayer. Have you ever gone to a service? It could be a wedding. It could be a confirmation. It could be several baptisms. And you walk into the church, and everybody is having the greatest time. Oh, they're all so happy, speaking as if they're in a bar room. That does not happen in my church. I will not let that happen. I come out, and I'm very kind, and I say, this is not a place of a bar room. This is a place of worship, and we have come to celebrate a sacrament, and we need to be respectful. So please be still and begin to pray. Oh, yeah. You know what one person told me? This is what one person told me. He said to me, I've been in many rectories, and I've been in many sanctuaries. And I'm telling you, the rectory is much more austere and quiet than the sanctuaries. In the sanctuaries, it sounds like a bar room. The rectory's so quiet. I think it should be the other way around. That in the place of a rectory, it should be business. I don't mean business. I mean people coming. I mean people going. I mean people seeking the sacraments, people seeking prayer. And the church should be a place of worship, a place of prayer. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do if he came into a confirmation and it sounded like a barroom? What would he do? See, we have things all wrong. The sanctuary is a place of worship. The sanctuary is a place of worship. And it should be respected as a place of worship. A place where people come to pray and meditate and behold the Lamb of God as Eucharist. That's what it should be. Not a place where everybody's talking about what they bought at Christmas or what they lost at New Year's. The Holy Father's trying to get reverence back, but you see, the only way you get reverence back is not by changing the Mass. You get reverence back by changing the hearts of people. Unless the hearts of people are changed, there's not going to be any reverence. Because people view the church as a meeting place, as a meeting hall, and not a place of prayer. And that's very sad. My house shall be called a house of prayer. You have made it into a marketplace, Jesus said. And how does Jesus respond to that? He turns over the tables. The birds are flying all over the place. The feathers are all over the place. The silver is all over the place. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Zeal for the house of God consumes me. This is a prophetic action. This is Jesus acting as a prophet. Also telling us what he tells us in the 23rd chapter, or the 13th chapter of Mark. Not one stone upon a stone would be left for the temple of Jerusalem. Not one stone upon a stone would be left. Not one. Not one. Not one. Why? Because they failed to realize his visitation. They failed to realize the visitation of God in Jesus Messiah. Not one stone upon another. I wonder what Jesus would do if he came into our churches and saw what we do in our churches. I wonder. I wonder how he would respond that the sanctuary has become a place of noise and sharing news, rather than the sanctuary has become a place of prayer. Zeal for my house consumes me. You see, Jesus is in the line of the prophets. He is the prophet's prophet. He doesn't mince words. He speaks what he means, and he means what he says. He doesn't dance around issues. Jesus doesn't dance around issues like many leaders do, dancing around issues. I wonder what Jesus would say today if he came to 40 parishes throughout the United States and how we treat the poor. I wonder what he'd say to us, how we treat the poor. Oh yes, all the big shots, you know, they're cutting turkey on Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter, that's wonderful. But what about the other 52 weeks of the year? I wonder what Jesus would say if he saw the churches and all the people that are out in the streets without homes, and that the churches have so many empty buildings. I wonder what Jesus would say. I wonder what Jesus would say if he saw those who presided caring for the rich and not caring for those people that are throwaways according to the world. I wonder what Jesus would say. I wonder what Jesus would say if he stood by Planned Parenthood today and he saw a couple of women, elderly, not a clergy member, as children were being slaughtered. I wonder what Jesus would say. I wonder what Jesus would say that his representatives, starting with the priests, were invited to great parties. But he says, when you have a party, invite the poor, the broken, the lame, the destitute, the blind, because they can't invite you back. I wonder what Jesus would say. Unless maybe his word doesn't hold for 2011. Well, I think it does. I wonder what Jesus would say when he sees in front of a rectory a message that says, don't bother to come and ask us for anything because we're poor ourselves. I wonder what Jesus would say. I wonder what Jesus would say. If we take the second chapter of John and see him throwing over the temple tables and the money changers and the feathers flying, maybe we'd be very, very, very surprised what Jesus would do. Maybe we would not even think it was Jesus, because we think of Jesus as a plastic Jesus, as a lovely Jesus with a lovely hairdo, rather than a Jesus who wants justice as well as charity. I wonder what Jesus would say. That there are poor people in Nigeria, in the Middle East, in Muslim countries, in China, that are dying for the faith every single day, and we don't even pray for them because they're poor, and we don't even think about them because they have no money. I wonder what Jesus would say, that martyrs go to their death for the sake and love of God and the church, and we don't even remember them. I wonder what Jesus would say. You have become a reprobate church, a church that looks for money, not a church that goes after the people, not a shepherd church that cares about the broken, the poorest of the poor. I'm talking all the churches, all the churches. I wonder what Jesus would say. I wonder. I wonder what Jesus would say. Well, as I read the second chapter of John, I know what Jesus did before. And you know what? He hasn't changed. I wonder how many raffle tickets and raffle wheels that he would throw over if he came into the churches and saying that we need to have gambling to support the church rather than the gospel. I wonder what Jesus would say.
But do we even care what Jesus says? Or have we come so far that Jesus is not even on the radar screen? I wonder what Jesus would say that someone goes to the Eucharist, which is the presentation, making present of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and the Mass is over in 20 minutes on a Sunday. I wonder what Jesus would say. I wonder what Jesus would say. The church is more entertainment than worship. That people want to be entertained rather than to worship and to surrender. I wonder what Jesus would say. Maybe we need to look at the word repent. Turn away from your sins. Let's not wait till Lent. Have a change of heart. You're on the wrong track. For the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for your future, plans to give you a hope. But if you seek me with all of your heart, you find me with you, says the Lord. I wonder what Jesus would say. That our churches are locked and we tell people we believe that Jesus is present as Eucharist in the tabernacle. I wonder what Jesus would say. I wonder what Jesus would say that our people are biblically illiterate because we don't challenge them to read the scriptures. I wonder what Jesus would say. To the throwaways of society, he would be very kind. He would be inviting them. He would eat with them. He would drink with them. The throwaways, you know, the ones nobody else wants. But to those who are the religious leaders, including myself, I wonder what Jesus would say. I wonder. You see, he doesn't mince words. He says what he means. He's not politically correct. If he has to throw over the tables in the temple, he'll do it. The prophetic Jesus. Do you know that we follow a Jesus that is crucified? A Jesus that is bloody? A Jesus who had flies all over his body while he hung upon the cross. A Jesus that looked more like an animal than a human being. A Jesus who was buried and on the third day rose from the dead. Do you know that we follow the real Jesus? Do you know that? Do you know we do not follow a plastic Jesus? A Jesus who was unable to care for the needs of the broken and the poor, but is drawn by people who are broken and poor and needy. He is drawn by our infirmities. I wonder what Jesus would say. I wonder what Jesus would say. If he heard everybody's homily on a Sunday, Catholic and Protestant, I wonder how many times he would want to go over to the pulpit and say, you have no idea. What are you preaching? Do you not know that these people are desperate to hear the word of God, that some of them in your sight are even suicidal, and you give them no hope? I wonder what Jesus would say. Could I tell you this? We might not hear him now, But when we stop breathing, we're going to hear him. You're going to tell us. You're going to tell us all. You did not care for the throwaways. You did not get your hands dirty. You did not smell like the sheep. You did not preach my word. You locked your churches. You celebrated your own mass. You didn't think the church's mass was good enough. You changed all the words. You wanted to be politically correct. You were lukewarm. And if you know what the Word of God says, be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. For if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. I wonder what Jesus would say. And yet he calls us to repent. He will not reject one who turns to him. He will not reject one who realizes they're on the wrong track. He will not reject one. Not one. No one who comes to me will I ever reject, he tells us. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And it is the will of him who sent me that I should lose nothing of what he has given me, but that I should raise it up on the last day. You see, Jesus hasn't changed in 2,000 years. We have. He's the same Jesus. He's no more liberal and no more conservative. He's the same Jesus that calls a spade, that will never reject anyone who's broken or sinful, and never reject anyone repentant. But to the arrogant and to the religious, he will speak words that he spoke when he walked the earth before his death and resurrection. It's a new year, and it's time to rend our hearts and not our garments. It's time to bring our broken hearts to him and to make sure we're living for him. It's time for shepherds to smell like the sheep and care for people. Yes, the throwaways. It's time, because that day will catch us like a thief in the night. That day when the Lord wraps everything up, it will catch us like a thief in the night, unaware of what's happening. It will happen at the snap of a finger. And all the things we've tried to cover up will be uncovered. Nothing will be hidden from his eyes of fire. Nothing will be hidden from his eyes of love. Nothing. Repent now and avoid the rush. Turn away from your miserable way of doing business and start loving the sheep that God has placed in your path. Not only the pastors, but the children and the mothers and the fathers. We each call to shepherd the people that God has given us. I wonder what Jesus would say. Read the second chapter of John.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.